Welcome to Unbound, the Saybrook Insights podcast, a proud production of Saybrook University. We're an online, nonprofit, regionally accredited university headquartered in beautiful Pasadena, California. Celebrating 50 years this coming year, our humanistic approach to online education has resulted in thousands of alumni the world over advancing the health and well-being of the communities we serve. My name is Nathan Long, University President and host of this podcast. In today's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Francine Lawrence, a Saybrook alumna and integrative health practitioner. Currently in private practice, she's also a licensed clinical social worker and ordained clergywoman, having as her claim to fame establishing a long-running integrative clinical support program for cancer patients in her home state of Louisiana. Our conversation spans several topics, including discussion of our new integrative social work PhD and its power, her work supporting cancer patients in their journeys, and the importance of holistic health supporting the overall health and well-being of our society. To learn more about Saybrook University, visit us online at www.saybrook.edu. And now, Dr. Francine Lawrence. Francine Lawrence, welcome to Saybrook Insights. So good to have you here today.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to join you.
Well, you know, as an alumna of Saybrook University, we were thrilled to hear that you were interested in coming on today, as well as the fact that you've also led one of our mindful moments, I think last week or a couple weeks ago,
if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe just tell the group that's listening a little bit about yourself, how you came to Saybrook, and what you're doing now.
I feel like I came to Saybrook through the back door, you might say, after a winding career before. You know, as a young professional, I was a seminary graduate and was an ordained clergywoman, and worked in a local church, and then also went into hospital chaplaincy for a number of years. Wow. Found that really fulfilling, and in that work, I was bumping elbows with social workers quite often, and was really interested in the type of work they were doing with clients, as well as the one-on-one counseling, and so I decided to get a master's in social work. So that's what I did at that juncture. And then went into social work and did a lot of medical social work. It seems like the hospital setting tends to draw me back in over and over again. So I did medical social work for a while, but then shifted out and went into nonprofit management, and was working with mostly mental health nonprofits. I worked for the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill for a while, as well as the Mental Health Association in Louisiana, and just really enjoyed doing a bit of organizational management, you might say. But then, you know, as all things do, things shifted and changed, and I found myself once again wondering, well, what's my purpose in life? And began exploring a PhD. So that's when I stumbled upon Saybrook and the Mind Body Medicine program, which I think was only in its first or second year at that point. So it was brand new, and everybody was eager to, you know, explain what it was about and welcome me in. And so it was a wonderful experience. I have found that at the time, when I looked back and I think, how did I cobble this career together with first as a clergywoman, and then I became a social worker, and now I'm in mind-body medicine. But Saybrook helped me see that as a very smooth and interlocking path, because they all do fit and meld perfectly together when you think of the person as a whole, and the spiritual piece and the emotional mental piece, and then, you know, just the whole mind-body medicine element of it all. So it's been a wonderful experience and a wonderful match for my Saybrook, for me to blend Saybrook with my social work background.
You know, it's interesting you say that, and I think it's not a coincidence here. I'm going to ask you this question. I think we talked a little bit about this beforehand, right? That Saybrook has just started our PhD in integrative social work, clinical integrative social work. And you mentioned how and I think quite beautifully, that the two really complement each other, mind-body medicine and social work. You know, from your experience, and maybe just go into that a little bit more, explain a little bit about how those two really nurture one another in terms of the disciplines and the practice of social work and mind-body medicine. Love to hear more from you on that.
Nurture is a great word, because they really do nurture each other. There have been many instances where the thought has passed through my mind, I'm so glad I have a clinical social work background. Because in doing the mind-body medicine, it seemed like such an advantage to have that clinical training and experience behind me to enhance my ability to teach mind-body medicine practices with people. I felt like it just gave me an edge to understand the emotional and mental aspects that we all, you know, bring to our lives each day. And then to be able to combine that with the theory and philosophy around mindfulness and mind-body medicine. Like I said, I felt like it really gave me a step up and helped me do my job better. And especially when I was doing the coaching piece of my work. And, you know, as a social worker, I found it to be a huge benefit to be able to offer coaching to my patients as well as counseling, and to then blend the mind-body medicine aspects into that coaching career. It's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Not to be melodramatic, but it truly enhances, all of the pieces enhance one another, and I think I do as a professional come out on the winning side of having that background of social work and mind-body medicine combined.
That's great. So it sounds like what we put together for this new PhD, which is being hosted or held out of the Integrative Medicine and Health Sciences College, should be a pretty good marriage if
you know, and another point that I also have found extremely helpful is that as a social worker, you have a licensure.
Yeah.
And that is so very important when you go out working with clients and with patients, is to have a licensure behind you. And to have a degree, say, in mind-body medicine, while that's wonderful and it prepares you exceptionally well, it doesn't have that licensure or certification to back it. And so as a social worker, you already have that. We as social workers have a licensure through our social work program. And so we can bring that to our professional world.
Right, whether it's mind-body medicine or a PhD in social work, whatever. Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was intrigued as well, your mindful moment when I was producing, you know, putting all of that together and listened to Luann's little bit of intro about you and then reading more about your background. I was so excited to see that your work has been really pretty depthful, if you will. And really, could you tell us a little bit more about your work in mind-body medicine now and how it's really unfolded to what it is today? You alluded to that already, but maybe a little bit more detail around that would be terrific for our listeners.
It is work that seems to have unfolded. I was very fortunate in doing my practicum for Saybrook. I sought out a cancer center, a regional cancer center, to do my practicum. And they welcomed me. They were not doing any mind-body medicine within this conventional cancer treatment facility. And so they were interested in what I had to say and what I could offer patients. So basically, I started as a volunteer, and they gave me the opportunity to lead a mind-body medicine skills group. That's how I started out. And it was well received and began to catch on. And fortunately, we had a vice president at the time who was open to the ideas of mind-body medicine and was created a position, a permanent full-time position for me there in the cancer center. And there, that felt like a candy shop to me because I had the patients and I had the medical environment supporting me and the space. And they were also just recently renovating and they built a beautiful meditation room and space where I could do my work. And so I just used my imagination and the resources that I had and developed a full mind-body medicine program there. We were able to start simply with that one little mind-body medicine skills group and then add to it a healing arts program. We also had a pet therapy program and started the first pet adoption program.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Cancer Center, which was a neat arrangement that we had. We had, you know, yoga and swimming and just a number of different mind-body medicine programs that we could pull together. I was happy to know, because I wasn't expecting that in Louisiana, in the Deep South like that, that people would be open to mind-body medicine. In fact, when I first started, I was told by a member of the administration not to use the term mind-body medicine.
Sure.
Because people would find that too woo-woo and it would scare them off. So I was, you know, slow in my introduction, and that was very, very important to work and establish a rapport with the medical community and, you know, all of that that was involved. But it turned out to be a very rewarding experience where, well, one patient said to me one time, she said, you know, the physicians did a great job curing my body, but it was mind-body medicine that saved my life.
Wow.
And to me, that summed it up.
That's an endorsement right there. Wow.
It was an endorsement of they understood that there was more to getting well than just having a body that was free of disease, that it was the whole person involved.
So maybe if you could speak to us a bit about the challenge then with the hospital, and maybe not the specific hospital, but the challenge with general populations around mind-body medicine, like the phrasing of that. And it sounded like you did some real work around coming into it slowly and bringing people along. And the woman's story who said that you actually... how did you say that? It was that she...
So the doctors cured my body, but mind-body medicine saved my life.
Saved my life. That was beautiful. And so she really saw the value, and it probably, I would imagine, took her a while to get to that point even prior to being introduced to it. So maybe you could speak a little bit more to how you moved into that realm for folks.
It was really interesting working at the Cancer Center. I find that cancer patients are very open and receptive because they have a very scary illness. So they're open to finding whatever will help them. So even though I was often seen as the weird woman, you know, they would tell me later, oh, I thought you were so weird when I first met you and was talking about the mind-body medicine. But they were open enough to give it a try and came to see and experience how it shifted their perception of life and how it calmed the anxiety and the fears and how they now had tools when their anxiety became uncontrollable when they had pain in the middle of the night and couldn't reach a doctor or whatever. They knew how to use their breath or to use imagery or to use some of the techniques we had practiced together. They knew how to do that now on their own. And so they felt better equipped and better prepared to participate in their own healing and their own management of their illness. So we worked together, and I kept stressing to them as I would work with patients. Sometimes it would be just one meeting or two meetings, or sometimes they would come to a group and come, you know, every week for years. And I would always stress to them that mind-body medicine is like pharmaceuticals. You don't just take one pill. You take your blood pressure pill every day, or you take your insulin every day.
Yes.
And mind-body medicine is the same way. You have to practice it and weave it into your life so that when those crises do come, you already have that embedded in how you approach and see life. And so it's there to serve you and to be your tool. But it does take, or it did for me, I can only, you know, I can speak for myself, that it was very painstaking and slow to introduce the concepts of mind-body medicine, and especially to pull the conventional or Western physicians in on the process, because we were in a cancer treatment center. So, you know, the office next to mine would be a Western physician, you know, an oncologist office. And so they would hear me give my reports and meetings and things like that. And I always remember this one physician, this was a couple years after my having worked there, I was sharing about some of the mind-body medicine we were doing. And he spoke up and he said, "Guys, that's not just woo-woo. I've been reading the research on it and it really works." and so, I mean, what that said to me, not only did I appreciate the endorsement, but it said to me that those previous years he had been sitting there discounting what I had been saying and right. doing, thinking it was woo-woo. And it took some time to, you know, have the right literature come yep. across his desk and to put it together. But my biggest advocate and my greatest help in that process were my patients. My patients would go back to their physicians and their nurse practitioners, and they would say, "This mind-body medicine program is really helping me. You know, we need to make sure this program is funded because it's changed my life." And that, I think, is how it brought itself along. I was very happy to know that even though I had been told, "Don't even use the words mind-body medicine," that when they hung plaque on the wall in the meditation room, they talked about the Healing Arts Program and they referred to it as a form of mind-body medicine that was practiced nice. At the cancer center. So we made progress, and people came along, and it's not for everyone, but we certainly opened the door for those who wanted to enter.
Boy, I would say it should be for everyone. It's but you know, maybe that's a biased view. I do agree with you though that the more I think folks that adopt this, especially in acute care and chronic care situations, you know, the outcomes, you know, we're starting to see that emerge in the research literature, the benefits and the healing properties of the mind-body connection. And what a powerful testimonial to that effect, you know, with your own patients, the individual stories of healing. That just warms my heart to hear that. And as you were, you know, speaking about that, you know, series of transformations, I would call it, with the physician, with the patient, with the administration. I will be the first to admit, when I came to Saybrook initially, I thought, "What is this? I mean, this mind-body medicine stuff." And over the past 6 years, it has been for me, just personally, life-changing. My mindfulness meditation process and practice has, in and of itself, changed my own outlook and my own health, for that matter. So, I know we need more clinical research to validate a lot of those efforts, but the anecdotals, I think, are pretty powerful. I really appreciate you sharing those. That's been great. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I know as a student, you were engaged in not just the practice, but also the research side of the equation. Maybe you could speak a little bit about your research and what you explored during your time at Saybrook, and maybe what you're up to now and how that's informed your mind-body practice.
When I was a student at Saybrook, I had two daughters who were studying naturopathic medicine in Portland, Oregon. And as they were beginning to graduate as NDs, they were getting very worried about how they were going to employ themselves. You know, if they had had an MD, that wouldn't have been an issue. But in today's culture, to be a naturopathic physician, the opportunities weren't nearly as available. So with the opportunity to do some research, I decided I would look into this question of what is it that helps create successful integrative medicine? How can we move our culture and our society along so that we can have a blending of conventional medicine and complementary health approaches? So in my research, I decided to do a case study, and I went to one of the leading mind-body medicine programs here in the U.S. and studied them using one-on-one interviews with the physicians and complementary health practitioners. I also used archival data to, you know, really measure and see what had been going on. And then just my observations as I was present there in that facility over a period of time. Because I was really curious, and my hunch was that the research was going to produce findings such as it's important to have funding, you know, philanthropic funding, or it's important to have a variety of complementary health approach modalities to be able to offer. And it's important to have space. You know, these things just seemed common sense to me. But what the research produced that was so fascinating to me was that those things were not the number one thing that is important in creating integrative medicine in today's society. And what was identified was it's an enlightened leader who can best bring about this change. And I found this to be so true as I compared it to my work at the Cancer Treatment Center. So many doors were opened simply because there was someone in power and authority who appreciated what I was doing with mind-body medicine and could bring it to the table during the budget meetings or when they were dividing up the space or when they were going to put people on the agenda or not, you know, for the meeting at the cancer center and things like that. But what the research also showed was, I mean, it didn't just take a leader, that there was definitely that element of self-awareness and emotional awareness and enlightenment, all those things about consciousness that goes along with understanding enlightenment. There's definitely, too, an element of spirit that is important in creating integrative medicine. It would be nice, I think, or people might be more comfortable with it if we could leave that part out. But I found in my research that it was absolutely present in what went on. And I would hear it in the case study in the facility that I was working at when they were constantly using things like phrases like things just fell into place, or I had this idea and the next thing I know a phone call came through offering me funding for this, or there were always these elements of things that seemed a bit out of the human control, but that happened to just come into being along with intention setting on the part of the people. What I also found so important in my research was that, and I did this research, I framed it within quantum organizational theory, and I used quantum theory because it does allow for consciousness and the participation of active human participants, and allows for all the things that are viable within integrative medicine. And what I found over and over again was the people involved in integrative medicine seem to be people who are looking to improve not only themselves, but the situation for other people. And that's what I found in doing my work in implementing a mind-body medicine program within a conventional medical setting. It was those people who were saying, who were willing to say, what I'm trying is not working. Let me see what else I can do, even though I don't understand it. And the ability to be open to what might bring itself forward and to things that were foreign to them but available. I found that to be so applicable. So the research was really intriguing, and I think it said, in answering my initial question of basically what can help my children get employed, you know, what's going to shift our society so that complementary health approaches are as welcome and as invited and funded as Western medicine, you know, is that it is. It's going to take a personal shift. It's not going to come about by throwing money at it or having all the beautiful spaces and being able to offer every kind of complementary health modality available. Those things are important, but it's mostly going to be a mind shift and a perspective within our society that's going to have to happen.
Do you see that occurring over the next few years? I mean, in greater fashion, I mean, you're having that small impact, I call it a great impact, where you're at. I mean, are you starting to see this snowball, or is it going to take even more time?
I definitely see it snowballing. I definitely see, too, that it's going to take more time.
So both and, yeah, fair
both
enough.
Both and, yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm continually encouraged because I do see it snowballing. And what I find now, I'm actually no longer at the cancer center. I have my own private practice where I work with individuals and groups doing mind-body medicine. And it's actually freed me up. I was talking to one of the physicians just yesterday or the day before and saying, you know, now I'm in private practice. And he was like, I'm your first patient, you know. He realized that mindfulness was important in the healing and progression for people, and that he too wanted to be part of that. That was one thing we could always say to our patients in regard to mind-body medicine, is we knew that not everyone that walked through the doors of that cancer center were going to be cured, but we could say with confidence that everyone could experience healing. And it was mind-body medicine that could offer them an opportunity to heal on a spiritual level, emotional level, social level, on so many levels. And so for us, that was the hope we could offer them. That was the post-traumatic growth we could share with them.
That's powerful. Very powerful words. And I think, you know, while there may be... for lack of a better phrase, a death sentence for some who go into those environments, right, into a cancer institute or hospital, what you're talking about is that healing which leads to a better quality of life for the time that's left, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so a lot of my work now is focused on persons with chronic illness, because, well, I found it to be a passion of mine and where my learning has taken me. But it's so important, and especially in our society where the numbers of people who have chronic illness is growing so rapidly. Mm-hmm. We need to know how to cope. I saw that there was a stream of related experiences and feelings shared by people with chronic illness. Number one being, how do I wake up with joy in the morning knowing that I have this illness that could reoccur and stop my life as I know it, mm-hmm. you know, this illness that causes me to have pain. How do I experience joy with this hanging over my head? And there were also issues around impermanence, knowing that when you get a chronic illness, you begin to realize more in depthly that your life is temporary. So looking at the issue of impermanence and being able to sit down and share with people and help them build their toolbox. I often use the term toolkit or toolbox, but to empower them with techniques and practices that put them in charge of their own healing and their own health, where they truly are riding in the driver's seat of that process. and being the patient at the center. So I find with chronic illness and working with patients who have chronic illness, it truly takes away that life sentence because they realize that they can have quality life along with a chronic illness. They realize that joy doesn't come from a perfect life. It comes from someplace deep within, you know, and that knowing that their life may be shorter than what they had originally hoped, somehow that loses the sting when they understand better how to make the most of what they have at the present time. Patients would come to me very often and they would say, I just want to get back to life as normal. And they'd say, you know, they'd use their hands, they'd say, you know, I'm here, I was here, and now I have this diagnosis, and now I'm way down here. I just want to get back to here. And I would look at them and I'd say, that's great, but that's not my hope for you. My hope, even though you may be here and you want to get here, my hope is for you to get here. And that's what we found. That's what we experienced with mind-body medicine, is that there was that post-traumatic growth, that you came out a bigger person, a more enlightened, a more enhanced person than you ever imagined you would be, because you figured out how to live a quality life using these mindfulness-based tools, and your life was so much richer, regardless of how long or how short it was. It had the quality and the impact to it that made it all okay. That's what we found with our patients.
Wow. Powerful words, Dr. Lawrence. That's fantastic. Thank you. Well, you know, we're at the end of our time here today, but what a pleasure it has been to listen to your work or about your work and the inspirational stories. I hope we get a chance to do more of this. I'd like to hear more about your current work with your new practice as that starts to unfold. And maybe you can bring your physician friend on, or your patient, I should say.
Yes.
And, as a testimonial to mind-body medicine. That'd be great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's always my pleasure to talk about my favorite topic. So thank you for the opportunity.
It's been great. And thank you so much for a lovely talk.
Appreciate it. Thank you.